In sin's dark night, there was no way I could make my wrongs right. Then the old accuser to the Lord did cry, he is a sinner, and now he must die.
Then I heard a voice say, Father, I'll go, and I'll pay the sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bury in my body the marks of the cross to save this poor sinner who is sin sick and lost. And his shield of blood that saves from sin is still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. There are those who rely on the works that they do, and some men they count on the times they break through. But when the battle's over and the victory's been won, I'll go home through the blood of the Father's only Son. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. I tell you, as much as I enjoyed the singing, I looked out over here and I seen Toria lipping that song. And I just thought, what a blessing. Yeah. Little child sitting in the house of God, hearing it still the blood. Amen. Hey, man, that's a wonderful thing. Amen. Wonderful thing. Yeah. It's the hope of our country. Yeah. It's the only hope. Is that our young people might get a grasp, get a hold on what really matters in life. It's the only hope, brethren. But I'm glad there is a hope. Amen. And I have a hope that's steadfast and sure. And I'm thankful that that anchor is just resting in Jesus tonight. I hope you have your anchor thrown. Amen. I hope you have your anchor cast. And that anchor is Christ. I always enjoy looking out over the congregation and seeing the young people. We laugh at our home. Little children go through stages. I remember when Adam went through a little stage, he liked to sing loud. And that doesn't bother me. I think Jacqueline's at that stage. She likes to sing loud. Don't you let that. You say, well, that bothers me. Well, you know what? It ought to bless you. Amen. Little children in church singing for the Lord. Amen. Singing for Jesus. I don't know that it could get any better than that. Right? They could be at some non-spiritual event. Could be at home watching, you know, some some filth and gall on TV, but they're at God's house singing for the Lord, and that just blesses my heart. Amen. These are exciting days to be a part of God's family, certainly exciting days to be a part of Fellowship Baptist Church. God is going to move our church forward. It's time, I feel, in my heart. You know, God, He takes us, the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 1, from faith to faith. God works in our lives. He's very patient with us. And He works in our lives and He prepares us for moves that He has for us. And you may feel in your heart, as I have at times, that sometimes God has moved in an untimely manner. But I want to assure you that God is always punctual. God is always on time. Always. And we just need to keep up with God. Stick beside Him. Amen. Don't get behind Him now. Don't get in front of Him. Just walk with the Lord. If you'll notice, that's what the Scripture says. Walk with the Lord. You see, don't walk behind Him. Don't get in front of Him. Walk with God. And that way, well, there can be an agreement there. God can be with us as He guides us along the way. I asked Brother David to read those Scripture to you because what we read tonight, if you followed along, and I hope that you did, was a group of people that were ready to set out on a journey. And I mean, they were excited. If you could somehow envision in your mind the Scripture that was read tonight, it says, you know, in verse number 33, that they departed from the mount of the Lord. They had, you know, they had encamped around the tabernacle, and they were three of those tribes to the west, and three to the east, and three to the north, and three to the south. And they had now pulled up their stake, their banners, and multitudes, thousands upon thousands of people that had come out of Egypt were now marching toward the promised land. What a sight that must have been. And the man of God, he asked for God's blessing, that God would rise upon them and bless them as they went, scatter their enemies, and boy, they set out on the journey. And it kind of reminds me of our own personal lives individually, but as we shall see in the next couple of chapters, I'm going to highlight some things here, three major things that happen in this journey that God thought it so important that He gave us the name of the areas where these things happen. And He wanted us to learn from these examples, as we've already seen in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, these were written for our example. And it's things that as we move forward in our personal lives, collectively, as a body of believers, we're going to have to remember these things. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and I don't want you to discredit what I say and write it off, because I want to be very careful how I say it. I don't know that the devil is going to try to hinder what Fellowship Baptist Church does by the use of tobacco. I just don't look around the congregation and see folks stopping by the 7-Eleven picking up Marlboro or whatever they sell in these days. I just don't see that. Or strong drink. I'm not saying that you can't fall prey to it. Don't misunderstand me. We don't ever want to assume. We don't ever want to think more highly of ourselves than we are. But there's three things as this mighty group of people, these people of God, as they started their journey to go to that place of promise, which is a picture to us in this dispensation of time, victory. Victory. The promised land, Canaan's land, victory. The victorious Christian life, triumphing. Listen. Triumphing over the enemy, marching, gaining ground, charging hell. Listen to me now. Doing something that matters for eternity. And I believe God has planted this work right here for that purpose. I believe that with all of my heart. You know, I sit at home sometimes in my study and I reflect and I just praise God. I tell Him, God, thank You. Thank You. We asked You for this, and God, You done it. God, we prayed about this, and You sent this family, and they were able to take it. You know, we wanted a strong bus ministry here, and they were people who were manning it, and they were people who were making it happen, and God sent us what I believe to be the best bus director that there is. I believe that. I'm not just saying that. I believe Brother David Brooks is the man. God sent us that man. Then God sent us people that work with him, that'll drive, that'll captain, that'll maintenance these buses, that'll work the buses. We wanted a strong mission program, and God sent us. And I tell people, listen, our sisters, we talk about it. You know this. I tell people who visit our church, every church needs a David Thompson. Amen. Every church needs a Brother David Thompson. I believe this. He's an administrator. He's an organizer. He's got a heart for missions. And thank God for a man that will take that program and lead it to the place that he has led it. Now, we've all been a part of it, but God uses people to lead these things. You understand that, right? And we could go on and on. Our youth, even our young adults, our Sunday school. There was a time when Brother John Shiflett and myself, and then we got Pastor David involved, and all of us had full plates, and we prayed, and we said, God, send us a man. There he is right there. Amen. God sent us Brother Brian, and God is polishing him and preparing him, and I think he's doing a great job. He's new in leadership and learning, and God has just, it's just amazing. I have been praying for years. Listen, I prayed when I was in South Carolina as a pastor. This has been many years, more than 25 years ago. I've always said, God, I sure would like to have an orchestra at the church. And God gave us a little small orchestra right there at Faith Baptist Church. And then when we came here, I began to pray. And I told some of you, you know, I just think orchestrated music is beautiful. And I didn't know how that was going to happen. And God sent us Brother Terry and Sister Barbara and Bowman. I mean, you know, I sit around in my study sometimes and just weep and say, God, thank you. Thank you. There was a time when we had one musician at the church. Maybe then Sister Wanda came, we had two. Amen. And now look, if you play an instrument, stand to your feet. If you play an instrument, not in the church, if you play an instrument, stand to your feet. Look at this. Don't you tell me God doesn't answer prayer. Look at this. Thank you. You may be seated. I just want to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. There were times when if Meredith was sick or Wanda wasn't able to be here, we didn't have anybody to play music. Now look, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God hears and answers the prayers of his people. God hears and answers the prayers of his people. And we could go on and on and on. Our children's ministries, they were just all over the place, and they were good. Now don't misunderstand me. But we needed somebody to take them and harness them and bring them and groom them and grow them. And Pastor BJ found his niche. I'm just convinced. And we could go on and on and on and on. Look at what God's done. Do you know that if you're a part of Fellowship Baptist Church, you may be here for a lot of different reasons, but maybe I'm a little selfish, but I believe you're here because God answered my prayer. I just do. You say, preacher, you ought not think so highly of yourself. Oh, it's not me. I think highly of my God. God hears and answers my prayers. And I want to publicly tell him, God, thank you. Thank you. And I want you to feel that way. God hears and answers the prayers of his people. And so don't think you're just here by some mishap or some coincidence or accident. You're here in the perfect will of God because God has a work for you to do. And it all ties into the purpose that we were talking about this morning. You say, well, I'm not doing a whole lot. God's not through yet either. God's not through. We're just getting started on this journey. And so here they are. They've come out of Egypt. By the way, that's what the book of Numbers is. It's journeying. Okay? So they've come out of Egypt and they're journeying. Now on the journey, there's going to be some bumps in the road. Tonight, I want to warn you about some bumps in the road. It's not going to be what you think it's going to be. All right? Sometimes, and again, I want to be very careful here. I don't want you to think that you cannot fall prey to some things that, you know, I just can't imagine Pastor BJ getting involved in alcoholism. Now, I'm not saying that he's above that, so don't you misunderstand me. There's none of us above any sin in all the Bible. You understand that, right? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. So don't you sit there and say, the pastor's presuming and he's thinking more highly of others. No, that's not it at all. What I'm saying, if we're not careful, we'll look at what we call these big things and we'll think, well, we've got it. And the devil will slip in with these little attitudes that I'm going to express to you tonight. And that's where the downfall of many a good churches has taken place. Not with the bottle. Not with things that you might think. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. All right? Let's see what happens here. Number one, the Bible says in chapter 11, as they're headed out now on this journey, the Bible says, and when the people complain, it displeased the Lord. What? Where did that come from? They just got started. Amen. I mean, here they are. Boy, they're jerking up their banners and their stakes and they're lining up. Boy, we're marching on. And thousands and thousands of people, hundreds of thousands, ready to march toward Canaan's land. And the cloudy pillar, woo, here we go. And then all of a sudden the Bible says, and when the people complain. Boy, isn't that human nature? I mean, it is. We are a complaining people. If there's nothing else you can say about the human race, we're complainers. Now, I want you to notice what the Bible says. It says, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Now, watch this. Here's our first place. All right, I'm going to give you three places. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. The word Taberah means burning, seething, consuming fire. What happened here? If you know anything about the children of Israel at all, you know that they were quick to complain. No sooner, and you don't have to turn there. You read this in your own reading. No sooner than this group of people got out of Egypt. I mean years, 400 years of slavery and bondage and taskmasters. Their little babies being killed, murdered by Pharaoh. Working sun up to sun down. No sooner than they got out of Egypt. God opened the Red Sea, got out on the other side in Marah, and there was no water. And they began to whine and bellyache. The water's bitter. Complaining. Complaining. I tell you, brethren, I don't know about you, but I'm going to break honest with you and tell you, God needs to help me. I don't want to have a complaining spirit. And if we're not careful, we've got it so good. God has given us such a good life. God has given us such good families and good health and good church. We live in America. We have it so good that if we're not careful, the least little thing, and we'll begin to bellyache and complain and say, oh, God, why me? The Bible says in chapter number 11 and verse number 1 that when the people, watch it very carefully, how the Holy Ghost of God made sure that we understood this, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord, listen, the Lord God of heaven heard their complaining. It was like it was a direct line to heaven. God wanted us to know, I hear that. Every time we're ungrateful and unthankful, and every time we dismiss the blessings of God like we deserve it or it's something that's coming to us, and every time we're unthankful, God hears it. And the Scripture says that God said, I want you to call that place, in verse number 3, Taberah, burning. Did you notice as we were reading where the fire was burning. Look, if you would, in the latter part of verse number 1, it says that the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them, but not all of them now, just them that were at the uttermost parts of the camp. Where's that preacher? The furthest away from the ark. The furthest away from the presence of the Lord. You know when your preacher complains the most? When I'm the furthest away from God. You know when you complain the most? When you're the furthest away from God. When you haven't and when I haven't spent our time with God and when we haven't counted our blessings, listen to me now. And when we begin to take all of God's blessings for granted and the goodness of God becomes familiar place to us and we think God owes us this, right? We think God owes us, we'll begin to complain and bellyache and the uttermost part, I find in my life when I'm on the outskirts, when I should be right in the mix, when I should be right up there close to God, but I'm on the outskirts and I'm drifting and I'm just kind of going through the motions and I'm not involved and I'm not passionate about what God is doing in my life, I'll begin to complain. And I'll begin to find fault and begin to wonder, why isn't God doing it this way and why is this happening, instead of saying, thank you, God, for your blessings on me. What else? Well, notice if you would. Notice if you would. Here it says that it displeased the Lord and that he burned. Can I tell you that the Bible says over and over again that God blesses a praising people? You want to get God involved? Start praising him. When's the last time you praised God? You say, well, preacher, when's the last time I had to praise him for something? Would you take a breath a half a second ago? Amen. Amen. Praise is always comely. We can always find something to praise God for. So, oh, now, preacher, you don't know how hard my life is. Don't need to know. I know God is good all the time. Amen. All the time. We can always praise the Lord. I don't want Fellowship Baptist Church, as your pastor, I don't want to be in this spirit, the spirit of complaining. The Bible says that we ought to do all things, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, without murmuring and complaining. You know, one of the things that I think young folks, and I'm not picking on our young people, I thank God for our young people, but young folks, if you're not careful, one of the things that'll happen is people will try to make you think it's cool to look. I look cool on a preacher. No, I've got another word you look, but I'm not going to use it. Put a smile on your face. You're in the house of God tonight. You got a mother who loves you, a father who loves you, a pastor who loves you, a God who loves you. You got health. Did you walk in here on your two feet tonight? You ought to pick them up off the ground and click your heels together and praise God. There's children younger than you that couldn't get out of bed this morning when they woke up. They're crippled. We always have something to praise God for. Don't be one of these complainers. God, the fire of God will burn now. Listen to me. They were away. They were away from God. Those that were on the uttermost part. Look at verse number 1, the latter part. They were on the uttermost parts of the camp. That's where the complaining always begins. Those that are farthest from the fire. Farthest from the tabernacle. Furthest from the presence of God. Then here's another place. Drop down if you would, and we'll have to come back a little bit, but in order to find this place, look if you would in chapter number 11. Look if you would in verse number 34. So God deals with that. And he teaches them, you don't need to be complaining. Church, can I just be direct with you? You will gravitate people to you by complaining, but it's always the wrong people. Now, we all complain, but if that's your mode of operation, If that's who you are instead of what you occasionally slip into and do, there's something broken. You need to get that fixed. An old complaining spirit, no one really wants to be around that. That's poison. That's poison. So I can't find anything right about my family. You're not looking right. You're not looking hard enough. I can't find anything good about church. You're not in the right church, or something's not right. If a man stands up and preaches the Bible, you ought to praise God for it. Amen. But I can't find anything good about this country. You know, we got folks saying, well, if so-and-so wins this, so-and-so, we're going to Canada. Pack up. Bunch of complainers. Complaining. Complaining, brethren. God help us not to be a people with a complaining spirit. God help us. It will kill this church now. You listen to me. You want to see a church lose the power of God and God to draw His hand back and say, I can't be a part of that. Right now, I believe with all of my heart, God's got His hand right over this work. And He's just leading us step by step. And God's giving us what we need when we need it. And He's taking us to the step when we need to take it. And I thank God for that. But you let a people like us begin to complain and become unthankful, and God will leave us to ourselves. And we don't want that. And you don't want that for yourself or your family, and we certainly don't want it for our church. God's people said. Amen. So let's be careful about a complaining spirit. Very important, okay? Number two, they come to this place in chapter number 11. If you'll notice there, in chapter 11, in verse number 34, it says, and he called the name of the second place that they came to, Gibroth-Hattaavah. You say, well, can you say that again? Not going to do it. I had to work on that for 20 minutes a day just to get that first time out. I was coming down the road listening to Google pronunciations. Amen. What's that word mean, preacher? Well, let's see what it says here. Because, this is what it means. There they buried the people that lusted. It's a burial place. This Gibroth-Hattaavah. And I believe I got it right. We'll have to check the tape for further review. But now listen to me. This place is very important. So here they are, okay? And they're excited. And they go on their journey, 3 days' journey, and they come to Tabor. And you know what? They began to complain, and it displeased God. And God said, hey, stop that. And now they come to this place. What happened here? Why were there people that needed to be buried here? Notice what the Scripture says. It wasn't complaining. What's the Bible say it was? Lusting. It's all now, preacher, what's that mean? That there's nobody here involved in moral sin. Well, you know, lusting doesn't always have to deal with moral sin. You know what these people were doing? Turn back with me, if you would, to chapter 11, the first part there. Look in verse number 4. This is an interesting group of people. So the children of Israel, and I'm going to confess something to you. I have read and read and read and studied, and I just cannot find. And we may have to get Dr. Thompson involved in this. If he can shed some light on it after the service, I'll take it. I have searched commentary after commentary. I've looked up words. I've prayed. I've studied. And I just don't know all that I want to know about this mixed multitude. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. And it says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. I do know this. The first time that this group, I'd done my word study search. And I went back the very first time this group of people's mentions in Exodus chapter 12 in verse number 38. And it says, when the children of Israel were heading out of Egypt, that this group of people kind of attached themselves to them and left with them. They left with them, that mixed multitude. Now, whether they are believers or not, or just going through a form or what, I've searched and I've studied and I've read, and I don't know all I want to know about this group, but I do know some things about it. And what I do know, I want to share with you tonight because I think it'll help you. There's always going to be that group. Now listen to me now. That's going to come down on the wrong side of what God wants. And here they are. There's always going to be that group that's going to always come down on the wrong side of the spirit and the flesh. They're always going to be flesh, 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 me, me, man, man, and leave God out. Always. It doesn't matter how good your church is, doesn't matter how much God's blessing, these folks are going to be there. Got to watch out now. You don't want to fall in. You say, well, I'm not one of them. Well, that's not what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about being influenced by one of them. Because notice, if you would, what verse number 4 says. And the mixed multitude that was, what's that next word? Among them. Now that concerns me. When I read that, my antennas went up, Brother Eric. And it says, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. Now watch it. Now it says the children of Israel wept again and said, what or who shall give us flesh to eat? That group that always falls on the wrong side done stirred them up. Then got in among the mix. Right? You see what's happening here? The mixed multitudes and got in among the children of Israel and said, well, I tell you, this manna diet's just not good enough. Manna, manna, manna. We deserve some meat. Right? Is that what's happening here? Lusting. Brethren, let me tell you something. If Fellowship Baptist Church is going to continue to be the church that God wants her to be, if we're going to continue to be the light in this community and around the world, we're going to have to come down on the right side of dress. Now listen to me. Music. Media. Programming. You cannot come down on the wrong side of these things and expect the blessings of God to be on your life. You cannot. You say, preacher, I'm going to mix it up with the world. I'm going to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You're going to live miserably that way. Miserably. You have got to make a decision. I'm going with God, amen. I'm going with God. You cannot be mixed on this. It will not work. It will not work. And these people always, when I read about these folks, they always came down on the wrong side. Let me tell you something about these folks. They're not loyal. You can't move forward with them in leadership. They can't lead you now. Listen to me. Hear me good now. Hear me. They're not loyal. They're not loyal. They're about their self. They're not for the kingdom. They're not for the greater good of the church. They're not. It's all about them. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? You beware of yourself. Me beware of myself. Let us be careful when we begin to develop that mindset, because God's not in that. If all you're concerned about tonight's yourself, you're a long way away from God. Lusting. Look at verse number 5. It gets better. By the way, while I'm here, let me just say something to you, okay? And it's because I care about you. Be careful who you spend your time with. Be careful. Well, preacher, why? Because you either are going to be or already are like the people you spend your time with. So now you be careful who you spend your time with. Some folks just need to disassociate themselves with someone. They're bringing you down, my friend. You be careful now. You be careful. Oh, that touch a nerve? Then I'm going to say it again. You need to disassociate yourself with someone. Because I'm not saying that because I don't care about you. I'm saying that because I do care about you. This mixed multitude is very real. They will take you to a place that you never dreamt that you could go to. All along the way, you thinking it's okay. Until the mask is removed and the light is revealed and you realize where you really are in life. Usually broken and hurt and lonely and left to yourself to suffer in the misery and pain that's been created
by a wrong association. So please, please be careful. This person, these people, this mixed multitude, they mingled in verse number 4, the Bible says, among the children of Israel. They fell a lusting. And then notice the mindset of these people. Don't miss this. Please don't miss this. Look at verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. The world is so delicious. Man, I just love the world. Church is boring. Preaching's boring. Them old Christians, that old preacher, he's boring. I just go down there. They're not boogie-woogieing. And boy, they're not just getting with it. And they're not beating the drums and banging on the instruments. And boy, I just don't feel it. What we need is some life. We have the right kind of life. We don't need that. We don't need no cheap substitute for what's real. Listen to me. As long as I'm the pastor of this church, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. No rock music at Fellowship Baptist Church. No contemporary music at Fellowship Baptist Church. No watered down versions at Fellowship Baptist Church. We're going to do her straight, brother. Right by this book. Because that's God's way. Say, preacher, you'll never reach the young folks. If you're under 25, stand to your feet tonight, please. Fan this for us back there, Brother Jonathan, just in case one of them liberals tuned in to see how we conservatives do it. This is the way we get young folks in church. We preach it hard and straight. Hard and straight, right from the book. Thank you, young folks. I am so glad that you're here tonight. So glad. Just preach it straight from the book. Singing those old hymns of the faith that, listen, might not make you want to shake something, but boy, it'll stir something on the inside. Amen. I mean, it'll get something shaking on the inside that old worldly music can't touch. Amen. You listening? We remember, they said. Look at it now. We remember the fish and that we eat there in Egypt free, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Why don't you remember the bondage? I'll tell you why. Because the God of this world's blinded their minds, just like He's blinding a lot of people's minds in this day in which we live. It's an amazing thing how they remembered these things, but they forgot about their babies being murdered and cast in the river. They didn't remember those taskmasters coming across their back. They didn't remember those long days in the brick kilns. Listen to me now. All of that's of the devil. It's amazing how we have selective memory when we're hooked up to the wrong source. We remember all the good things. Can I tell you, I've been there. The devil constantly will come to us with this lie, doesn't he, folks? Come on now, if you're over 25, let these under 25 know they're not in the boat by themselves. Amen, you know what I'm talking about. The devil does it to us too, young folks. Amen. He tries to make us think that, boy, all this good stuff, but then by the grace of God, the Spirit of God reminds us where we were when Jesus found us. Amen. Reminds us of the taskmasters and the bondage. Not just the good stuff. So this mixed multitude, now you got to watch out for them. They can make it sound all so appealing, can't they? Well, down there in Egypt, we got that fish free. Cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. So be careful about that lusting now. Look what it said in verse number 6. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna. Just what God gave, and we know that God, I mean, what He gives, just don't do it. We got to have a little bit of, you know, we got to have the dry ice and the flashy lights, and we got to have the zip lines, and man, we got to have all this stuff, the stage lights and the drama. Well, they ain't got us beat, amen. We got the deer heads. Somebody say amen right there. And a bear to boot, Brother Dan. That's what I'm talking about right there, brother. You see what's happening here? It's the same stuff, just in a different age that we live in. Same stuff here. It's the same stuff. These things were written for our examples. Nothing's changed as far as the approach of it. They just go about a different way to try to suck people into their life, lusting, and it's all built on the flesh. I didn't come here to get my flesh puffed up. I came here to get my spirit fed. I need spiritual nourishment. I need spiritual fellowship. My spirit needs ministered to. I believe that's why you're here. So number one, Tabera, complaining. Number two, in verse number 34, it tells us what it is. It's Kibroth Hetta'ava, which is lusting. It's a burial ground for those that went a-lusting. Fell a-lusting after all that used to be. You need to disassociate yourself as fast as you can and as much as you can from what you used to be and used to be involved in before you got saved. Amen. Say, preacher, I'm looking for that music that had that same beat that I listened to before I got saved, but got those Christian lyrics. Baloney. You're seeking for something that's fit for the mixed multitude. Listen to me now. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you. You can't live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It's not going to work. Well, I'm looking for a good news for modern man, something that'll bring it down to my level. Why don't you get filled with the Spirit and let Him take you up to His level? Let God teach you the deep things of God. Get you into some spiritual food that'll enrich your soul. It's real now, and it's for everybody. Well, I won't go into it for time's sake, but if you'll read this, you'll find where the folks here, they just wasn't interested in what God had to. God wasn't, what God had to offer wasn't good enough. We got to add a little touch of Egypt to it. Brethren, it's not going to happen. Not while I'm the pastor, and I don't think you want that. Now, can I tell you something sensible? Why should we as a God-fearing, spirit-filled church try to minister and cater to carnal and carnality, people who spend all week on the world's appetite, and then we're going to come here and try to appease that? No. We're just going to keep giving them more of what God said. Amen. We're just going to keep giving them truth. We're just going to keep giving them what God said and what God and how God said how to do it. And listen, that is what's going to bring change. See, what they haven't realized yet is they don't need more of the same. They need change. I'm shocked at how many people say, you know what? I'm miserable. I just can't think straight. I can't sleep at night. I'm miserable, preacher. I'm miserable. What you need is change, my friend. Well, can I just get what I've already got maybe in a different mixture? No, you don't need what you have in a different mixture. You need change. Something different. Everybody understand me, right? Let's move to our last one. Now, this is what kills a church. Number one, complaining kills a church. It does. And if all of us would be honest now, we're apt to become complainers. It's easy. And sometimes you just have to say, time out. Hey, man, time out. Oh, man, this day hadn't got started good, and here I have already complained about three of the first four things that happened in my life. This day is not starting out right. Time out. God, I'm going to ask you again to please help me. I don't want to go through the rest of my day like this. But now, you had those days, you know what I'm talking about? It can happen. So let's watch the complaining, all right? Number two, lusting. Always looking at the way the world does it and saying, well, you know what? The church says this, but let's go back. We remember the way the world did it. No, be careful. Be careful right here. We don't want to follow the way the world does things. We want to follow the way God said do it in His book. Right? Amen. Amen. Number three, and this is where we'll close. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 11, in verse number 35, we have our third and final place. It says in verse number 35, the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazareth, and abode at Hazareth. Now, what happens that? Well, if you get over to chapter number 12, this is the third bump in the road, all right? I mean, sometimes, you remember when you were growing up and your mother, your grandmother would say, when it rains, it pours. Amen. I mean, here they were, and I want you to get this picture now, chapter number 10, right? Here they were, and they were camped, and Moses said, you know, all right, time to move up, pull it out. And all the captains of the tribes pulled up the banners and the flags and waved the flags, and all of them fell in order, and they were there. You know, everything was just so put together and organized, and they were getting ready to march, and the trumpets, you can read this in chapter 10, and those silver trumpets blow, and it organized them together, the assembly, and they were ready to march toward the promised land. What a scene! They came to Deborah. And man, people were complaining. I mean, this through, and we're going to study this probably in our leadership conference. I feel like God's leading me to speak to our leaders about being overwhelmed. Moses got overwhelmed here. All right? He did. I mean, Moses just said, God, this is more than I can bear. I can't handle this. God, I need you to help me. And we won't get into this, but you read it sometime. It's excellent material. Excellent. If you're a leader or want to be a leader, you need to see how God dealt with his leader right here and gave him some great wisdom. And he helped him. God always helps his people. Always. So they left from that complaining spirit of Tabor, and they went over, and the mixed multitude got among them and began to influence them, and they began lusting and saying, oh, you know, we remember the way it used to be. You know, the church I used to go to did it this way. You know, I can remember when we done it that way. And back in, before I got saved, we done this and that music and this dress and that style and this. And God said, no, no, no. They buried some people there. You want to die spiritually? You want to kill your testimony? You want to kill a church? You want this church to become a burial plot instead of a birthing center? Start doing things the way Egypt does it. You listen, you might triple in your numbers, but your births are going to go way down. You heard what I said now, right? You got that. Okay, third place, Hazareth. Well, criticism. This is what happens here. You say, preacher, I don't criticize people. Well, I'm glad. You're a better man than I am. I'm just shooting straight with you. What happens here? Well, the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 12, Miriam, now you know Miriam, she led kind of the ladies' ministries. Well, I tell you, Moses and Aaron and Miriam, what a team. I mean, what a team now. And Miriam was very involved in the ministry of the children of Israel, and here was Aaron. Of course, you know his role as the priesthood, and there was Moses as the prophet, the leader. What a team. And the Bible says in chapter number 1 that Moses and Miriam, and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, if you look that up, from Ethiopia, he married a Cushite. And they used this as a guise, all right? And they said, well, you know, we just don't think you ought to be married to that woman. Well, first of all, it was none of their business. And you can say amen right there. But second of all, they had no right to do that in the manner they did it. Because there was nothing written that said that he shouldn't have done what he done. That's right. I've read Deuteronomy. I know what the scripture teaches. I know this is a touchy subject, and people say, oh, well, you know, preacher, some things you ought not talk about. Well, if it's in the Bible, I'm going to talk about it. I want to say this, and I'm going to move on, because I don't think this is the real problem, and here's why. I don't think they were getting on to Moses because of his interracial marriage. This was just a almost like a smoke screen so they could get in the back door and challenge his authority. Because they said in verse number 2, they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Can't we make some decisions too? Can't we have a say?" So you see, they used that to try to discredit Moses so that when they tried to elevate themselves to the place it was reserved for Moses, that it would seem justifiable. You see what just happened? Now we all, if we're not careful, can fall into this trap. But since God mentioned this, I want to tell you something, and I said this before, and I don't say it to embarrass anyone, okay? One of the things you have to be careful when you start talking about interracial marriage, if you're not careful now, listen to me, and I'm just going to say this while I'm passing, is that folks won't have a problem with a white and a brown, with a yellow and a brown, but when it comes to black and white, they have a problem. So, well, I have a reason for that. Yeah, I know what your reason is. It's called racism. It's called prejudice. You say, well, I disagree. You know, God told the Jews not to marry those Gentile nations for religious purposes. Can I tell you what the New Testament rendering of that is? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He told them to stay away from them because they were worshiping heathen gods. And he didn't want them to bring their heathen gods into the worship of the one true and living God. Amen. And so here it is. All right, you say, oh, I feel a little nervous, preacher. I don't feel nervous at all. Hey, man, I don't feel nervous. Well, let's see. Where's Brother Benny at? Brother Benny, would you and Sister Son stand up? Brother Benny just had surgery, amen. Can you stand up? Help him up, Sister Son. He's getting old. I don't think Brother Benny would be offended if you raised your hand and said, I got a problem with that. I can't believe this American man would go over there in Korea and fight those Korean men and then have the nerve, the audacity to bring one of their women home with him. Brother Benny said, the Korean War has been good to me. We don't have a problem with this. Anybody here got a problem with this? If you do, then, you know, talk to Jesus about it. We don't have a problem with that. You can be seated. See, they had a problem with this. They had a problem with it. Well, they act like they did. I don't think Betty's in the service tonight, is she? But we could ask Pastor. Well, I don't know. Everybody's got a problem, Pastor BJ. Amen. I mean, man said he was 27 last week. I don't know. We could go on and on. You know, listen, brethren, listen to me. Anybody got a problem here with John? Where you at, John Shiflett? Stand up. Shane, stand up. You got a problem with this man, this young man belonging to this man? I think it's one of the greatest things ever. I think it's one of the great. Where's the Foshers at? Thank you, Shane. Where's Abigail at? Where you at, Abigail? You in here tonight, Abigail? Is she home, Brother John? Stand up, Abigail. Anybody got a problem with this young lady belonging to this man right here? You see? See how foolish we can be sometimes? Thank you. Y'all can sit down. Hey, can I tell you we love y'all? We love you. We're so happy. God not only brought you to the greatest country in the world, he brought you to one of the greatest churches in the world. And he put you in one of the greatest families in the world. We're just so happy for you. I hope you really realize what God's done for you. I hope you do. Where's the Foster family at? They in here tonight? Brother Buddy, stand up. Where's our Foster gals and guys at? We don't have no problem with this, do we? I hope this, listen, this is one of the greatest things ever. Ever. We praise God for y'all. Thank you, buddy. Nobody here got a problem with that, have you? You see how shallow and if we're not careful, we'll just dig in and have all these misconceived things and it's wrong. I'm not going to stand at the front door, and I know you wouldn't, but I'm saying that in case there's some crazy person watching, and who knows, I might have a following of crazy people, but there might be somebody watching Facebook Live, and I want them to know. I don't think anybody here has a problem with that. We're not going to stand at the front door and check people's race card. Come on in, amen. Come on in, red and yellow, black and white. Bring them on, amen. We're going to preach Jesus to them. We're going to tell them what the Word of God says. We want to get them saved by the grace of God. Amen. I want to get them saved. Well, preacher, what you going to do when they get saved? We're going to disciple them. I hope they become leaders in this church. I hope these young men over here become leaders at Fellowship Baptist Church one day. I mean that with every ounce of my being. It would be an honor for these young men to grow up and be leaders in this local assembly, or us to be able to send them to a country so they could share the gospel of Jesus Christ with their people. That'd be wonderful. Wonderful that we could commission them. It's amazing what you can do when you do it God's way. Well, they got to criticizing. And if we're not careful, we'll get to criticizing. Now, they made like it was in verse number 1, and I'm going to close now. I'm through. They made like, well, you know, it's who he married. Can I tell you, most of the time, that's not your problem. It's not. That's masking the real problem. You've got a problem right down in here that you're not willing to confront. And when you get that matter settled, God will begin to work in your heart, and you'll be amazed what God can do in your life. I understand cultural differences. I raised my children, marry within your culture. I did. But don't ever be prejudiced. Don't ever be racial. Listen, don't ever do that. You understand what the preacher's saying tonight, don't you? If you don't, come see me and we'll talk about it. I don't have a problem with it. We're going to accept folks just like God sends them to us. And we're going to ask Jesus to do work in their life, that same work that he done in their life that he's done in our life. And so the scripture says here that Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. You think that pleased God? It displeased God. It displeased God. God was listening, and it displeased him. And the Bible says that they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. You remember when the Bible said that back in chapter number 11, verse number 1? The Lord was listening. He was. And the Bible says that Moses was a very meek man above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And I don't have time to go into this because of time. But they criticized Moses. And God called him out in verse number 9. He said, "Hey, I want y'all to come here." And the cloud of pillar descended. And when it lifted, Miriam was struck with leprosy. And Aaron said, "Moses, pray that God will heal my sister, our sister." And God said, "I'm going to heal her, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to tell her she's going to be 7 days separated from the camp." You can read it here, okay? "I want her to think about what she's done." You don't criticize leadership without paying a price. Now listen to me. You want to kill a church? Become a leper in the church. You say, "Preacher, I don't have leprosy." I'm not talking about physical leprosy. I'm talking about spiritual leprosy. You want to kill a church? Get a few people with leprosy among the congregation. Spiritual leprosy. That's the type here. These things were written for our examples. God put them, he said, "I want Miriam to be 7 days." God could have just cleaned her and said, "Okay, march on." Held them up 7 days. It hindered their progress. Why? Because their heart was not in the right place, and they were criticizing the leader God gave them. Now, God's given us some good leaders here, and I know all of you realize that. All right? Pray for your leaders. Pray for me. Pray for these assistant pastors and our missions director, our deacons, the people that work with Sunday school and bus, our children's ministry. Pray for your leaders. Listen, if you're in a Sunday school class, you ought to pray for your Sunday school teacher every single day. Pray for your Sunday school teachers. Pray for the leaders of the church, brethren. God honors that. Listen, we're not going to do it the way that maybe you want it to be done every time, or maybe even the way God wants it to be done every time. We're going to make mistakes. But don't criticize it. Let's discuss it. Let's resolve it. Because the spirit of criticism will kill a church. So here's three major bumps in the road. All right? Number one was what? Taberah. What was it? complaining. Don't complain. It's easy to fall into that complaining spirit, isn't it? Number two, lusting. Always wanting something more. Something that other than what God gave. God gave the manna, wasn't enough. Got to have something else. Number three, criticizing. These things will kill us. So we got to be on guard as we journey, as we progress, as we move forward. All right, church? Let's remember this. It'll be good for us. Let's stand. I'm asked from time to time when I'm out, "Preacher, can a black man come to your church?" I said, can. They already do. I'm actually have people ask me that. "Do y'all accept black people down there?" I say, "What? Do we accept black people?" What kind of question is that to ask a preacher of the gospel? What do you mean, do we accept black people? We not only accept them, we love them. Man, we're sending people to back to where many of them still live. What do you mean, do we love them? Will we accept them? What about Asian folks down there? You got any Asian folks? Y'all accept Asian people down there? I think we do. Yeah. It's crazy we live in that kind of world, isn't it? Brethren, we're Christians. We're Christians. I know we're, listen, I'm not going to go into cultural differences. I understand all that. We're talking about loving people right now. Loving people. Getting them saved. Growing them up in Jesus. Teaching them the Christian experience. What it is to live for Christ. So if you ever get asked that question, and maybe you already have, I don't know, you tell them, yeah. Yeah, you come on. You come on. It's been a while now since Brother Troy came to me. I said, "Preacher, I just want to worship God. I'm not the same color you're on the outside, but preacher, on the inside, my heart's the same." Now, he told me that in my office. I said, "You're right, brother. Can I tell you that I love that man right there like he's my brother? I love Brother Troy. I don't think there's a man in this church that could have any ill will toward Troy Milton." We love you, Brother Troy. Say, "Preacher, why you say that?" I want Brother Troy to know, when I look at him, I have to see that he's black. Can't help that. But that's not what I'm looking at. He's got a heart this big. Always jovial and happy, serving God, greeting people. How could you have ill will toward that? Brother Brown, back there. Brother Brown, I want you to know we welcome you. We welcome you, Brother Bruce. We welcome you. You're welcome here. I want you to know that. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to say that. Bring them on, brethren. Red, yellow, black, white. Bring them on. I'm going to preach to them. They're not getting any special favors. Now, I don't know, last night Brother Dan said he felt like a Democrat up here handing out all that free stuff. I like that, Brother Dan. I did. I like that. Amen. I like that. Amen. I got to tell you though, Brother Dan. There for a while, I thought everybody was going to get a trophy, and I was getting ready to shut this thing down. We are not having everybody to have a trophy. Amen. Church, let's be careful. God's been good to us. I'll say it again, and this is where we close. I'm going to ask the pianist. She's already here. Start playing softly, pianist. I don't see folks running out here tonight to go get a fifth of liquor. I don't see that. I don't see folks buying a bag of pot or line of coke or rock of crack or a little run of heroin. I don't see that. Stopping by some juke joint or immoral place. I don't see that. I'm not saying you're above that. I'm not saying that any of us are above that. But I'm going to tell you what I do see. I see an enemy who sees that God knows what's going on here. And if he can't get us to those joints and those places and get us involved in those vices, he's going to come and he's going to get us complaining, murmuring and grumbling and about every little thing. Well, oh, so-and-so this and the preacher that, and just every little thing, just grumbling and murmuring and complaining. It'll kill a church. It'll kill a spirit of unity that we have here just like that. And then